Mr. Zach Jonathan Thompson. People can't see this, but it also says on Riverside that my name is also Zach Thompson. But who is the real Zach Thompson? By the end of today's episode, you probably still won't know. Zach Thompson, how are you?
Yes, very, very well. Jack David Frimston, how are you?
Very, very well. To what I get a lot of messages saying, and when I say a lot of messages, I mean no one's ever said that before. I'm using it as a way to get into today's episode, is people say, I love Alex Hormozi. What do you think of him? I say, well, that's one question to answer. And they say, what if there was one place where I could just watch some of the best Alex Hormozi advice and you guys reacted to it? So one question I don't think I've ever actually asked you this, and we talk at least for 4 minutes a week. What's your view on Alex Hormozi? Are you a fan? Are you not a fan?
I think he's an amazing marketer. Amazing marketer, the way he thinks about it. And he's got that Rory Sutherland thing. You know, you listen to something, you go like, ooh, that's a good bit of an interesting way of thinking about it. Now, obviously, in this conversation, we're not talking about his ability as a marketer. We're talking about his ability as a seller.
I mean, he's definitely sold. I think like that's his thing. He's as a marketeer. And as we know, selling is not created equal. I don't think that this is going to be like the Gary Economics video. I don't think we're going to be like looking at him thinking, huh, what a schmuck. I think there's going to be some good stuff today. But I think there's probably also...
We weren't looking at Gary Economics saying that either, were we?
What were we saying?
We were just saying like, what's the solution, Gary?
What is the solution, Gary? I don't think anyone called him a schmuck, actually. So Gary Stevenson, I do apologize for that.
That's okay.
Are you ready for the first video?
I'm ready to... Yes.
You're ready to what? Okay. You'll have to bear with me because...
Hey, let me bear with you. So, listen. I'm just remembered this.
Okay.
I'm burst... Oh, we go.
5 rules for sales. It's a lot easier than you think. Let's go.
All right, I'm going to get a pen then.
$50 million a year. These are 5 rules for closing that I teach them. Number one, the person asking the question is always in control, and you want that to be you. Number two, be like smoke. If you don't know how to answer it, just ask a question about their question. Number three, tell them what their question means. They might say, I need to think about it. And you might say, that's amazing. That's what some of our best customers have asked. What's your main concern? And so instead of taking a step back, they actually take a step forward in the sale. Rule number 4, use straw men for harsh truths. If you have a hard truth that you want to ask or a question that can seem kind of cutting, you don't want to ask it to them. You want to tell them a story of someone just like them that you asked the question to. And then you have a third party in the sale who can then be the person you deliver the hard truth to, and then they just bear witness. 5, retain childlike curiosity at all times. And so if you say, huh, that's interesting, or huh, that's a really good question, that then keeps you in the sale, it keeps rapport, and then it buys you time so you can think about what you're going to say next.
Thank you, Alex Hormozi. That was Alex Hormozi, everybody. Round of applause for Alex Hormozi.
Thanks, everybody. Alex Hormozi. We'll get back to you in the studio in a moment. Some good stuff in there.
Some really good stuff. I think stuff...
And probably some stuff...
Yeah, some... Sorry, there was definitely some stuff in there, if that's what you were going to say.
Yeah, definitely. What was the good stuff? What did you like?
1, 2, and 5.
Yes.
Yeah, 1, 2, and 5. I would say 1 was... There was childlike curiosity. Yeah, love that. Always be curious. Ask a question, answer a question.
Person asking the person is one in control.
Yeah, and the person answering is in control. I think we're going to talk about softening the blow at some point. And the other one was around...
He did that, like, I need to think about it thing, and then the response to that was... Oh, that's amazing. That's what some of our best customers have said.
Yeah.
And I think that's an American thing, isn't it?
I think it's an American thing. I was actually going to say I think it's an American thing, and I think that this is where the British-American thing is different. Go on then. So talk us through. So points 3 and 4 were probably the ones that stood out to you. Tell us where your brain went.
Well, I need to think about it is usually a sign of something upstream, and often with that one, it's like a reactance bias. Mm. So it's just probably like... pushed a bit too hard and someone needs to think about it. So you can alleviate that whole step upstream, right at the top of the call. You can say, if we arrive after the end of this at a, you need to think it over, are you comfortable just agreeing with me that's probably a no? Mm. Yeah, 9 times out of 10, blah, blah, blah. And then if you still got to I need to think about it. You probably want some form of acceptance first before you do the whole. I think people are kind of, it might have worked once upon a time, but I think people are smarter than that now. If you go, that's what our best customers always say, like, I think they'll go, oh, I know what you're doing. But if you said, yeah, that makes sense, it feels like maybe that there's something in particular on your mind, like, you know, just letting the space to explore and accept that. But the ultimate solution to that is dealing with it upstream. Mm.
I think there's a thing as well of, when I hear Alex Hormozi say things, I think your confidence, your tone is like so bang on. I could imagine you saying that, and I could imagine that working. All right, I'm not here.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Actually, I do know what your Instagram algorithm is like, because I've seen it. And when it's printed on paper, because you printed it on paper and brought it to the Manchester office, it's awful. I can't believe that you could even print an image like that. But I'm getting a lot of these like high ticket closers like coming up on my Instagram feed, and I'm hearing them say stuff like that. And I just think, I was thinking about this, like when people say this about budget, you say this. And when people think about this about their partner, you say this. And I was like, I think, like you say, the issue is probably upstream of like just getting it out. I don't think that you need to handle those objections in that way of like, okay, and when you go to your partner and you say this, what are you gonna do? I just think like there's a better way of probably fixing that earlier. I do think delivery is key with these kind of things as well.
I agree. And the other thing was that third party story. Again, like probably spoken like I said at the top, someone who's good at marketing. Story is obviously very key at trying to get in front of lots and lots of people at once. You can skip that whole step and all the nonsense of it. The issue that he's got is like, if you give someone a direct question, it might feel combative.
Yes.
Right. So what you do instead of that is you just soften the blow. How you soften the blow is you say, how do I ask you a really direct question without upsetting you? So come on, you can ask me, are you sure? I feel like we're kind of getting on. I don't want to ruin the rapport. No, go on. What is it? Well, you're telling me you want to jump on this gym plan. You've tried a few different gym plans before. They haven't stuck. Like, why would this one be any different? You don't have to then tell the big third party story of the guy who didn't stick at the gym. It just feels too complicated for me.
Yeah, I like that. I like stories when it like, it fits. So like in that situation, yeah, our current provider is fine. Okay, can I ask a bit of a direct question? Yeah. And then the story can be, so soften the blow. Typically when I get home from work and I say, how was your day looking after a 1-year-old? And my partner says, fine. It feels like there's probably something more. So you can tie in that story, but I think you can definitely soften the blow. And we talk about that in the book. Zach Thompson, I'd like to give you a round of applause, because I know that was a fairly long short, and you managed to keep concentration for the whole way through. So well done. Very, very proud of you. You ready for another one?
Oh, what's that there?
Right, we're ready for another one. I said, are we ready for another one, Zach Thompson? I need like a...
I'm ready. I can't wait to see that hench swine. Okay. Always walking around.
These
now.
Are the best sales line I've ever heard. Let's see if it is really good.
Sales lines I've ever heard. Layla and I were at the store, some luxury thing for like nice jackets for the winter. And Layla and I were trying on jackets. But the problem is we lived in Austin. It's hot there all the time and we'd never need a jacket like this. And so we told the salesman, hey, you know, it's not about the money. I don't think we're really going to use it. And this is what he said. He said, if it were free, would you take it? And I just smiled and he's like, right, well, then it's not about the money. And so then it actually redirected us back to price overcomes. And I thought it was one of the best ways to get back in the saddle in a sale when you hear somebody who says, oh, price isn't an issue for me, it's something else. Well, just ask them if they would do it for free. And if not, then you can work back into
redirection.
The sale.
We like it. We're going to talk about that. My advice would be, if you're a company that's selling big furry jackets, don't sell them in one of the hottest states. Do you know what I mean? If I'm selling like the next piece of AI, I'm not going to go and sell it at the H2O exhibition at the MEN Arena. Think about where your audience is. But what was your take on that?
I think it's an American thing again. I think the first time I heard that was in Jordan Belfort's Straight Line Persuasion, which is now probably, what, 12 years old, isn't it? I'm not against it. I think people love those little buzz lines, don't they, like that? And like you were saying before, that's your high ticket closer TikTok video line. And then I get on the phone as a salesperson or in a meeting with the salesperson. I go, hey, if it was free, would you buy it? And they go, well, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not.
Oh, right. No, I don't really know what to do now. Like, it doesn't really get you anywhere. Probably the question to ask in a scenario like that is, I mean, we'll go back, we'll reiterate a point, the softening the blow. So, like, yeah, look, I like it, but we live in Austin most of the time, and I just don't think we get the use out of it. That makes sense. Do you mind if I ask you a bit of a direct question? Yeah, go on. I can't think of a better way to word this one, but what made you want to look at them in the first place?
Yeah. Why the fuck are you trying it on? Yeah. You got a fancy dress party or something?
Exactly. It's some form of, I'm basically saying, what problem are you trying to solve? It's probably very hard when you're selling jackets because the problem they're probably trying to solve is, I want to look cool.
Yeah.
And if you're someone like me, you always look cool.
Right, okay. I'm going to give you another one because we're talking about cool jackets.
Do you find me cool?
Depends what you think by cool, because my epitome of cool and your epitome of cool is probably different. What do you think is cool?
I think you find me cool. Cole, you can't even say it.
Right.
I wonder how fast Cole.
Right, look at him. He's holding the door there, lad. Oh, right, back in the 30s.
This will be good.
He said, I wouldn't stop knocking doors until I got 20 appointments set. And he would count the number out loud as he went from house to house. As soon as he'd get one, he would say, one, 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 one. He was a psychopath, but he also was one of the top producing door knockers of all time for that company. And then he hit the second door and he'd get it. And he's like, two, 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 two. And he would not stop until he hit 20. And as soon as he hit 20, it was either at lunchtime, midday afternoon, it was dark at night. He wouldn't stop until he hit the goal. One of the best door knockers.
What does that remind you of? I bet that takes you back. We're now 4 years in business. Where does that take you back?
Don't know.
Oh, right.
Sent that somewhere.
Yeah, literally. You're
oh,
mate.
Yeah, sorry. No, you're right. Yeah, no, sorry.
When I set you up and you let me down.
Sorry, I'd let you down. When I started my business, I used to not stop until I'd set two meetings for myself a day. So that was 40 a month, and I had choice because I had 5 days in a week. Sorry, Jack, I didn't deliver it properly. I was thinking of that literally knocking doors and wondering if we both ever did that before, but we didn't. Did we?
No.
And actually, you just take that to what I should be a core memory, but isn't.
Go on.
My dad used to live on a cul-de-sac in Cleveland, just past Blackpool.
And what did you used to call it? A cul-de-sac.
Torrington. Oh, cul-de-sac.
Torrington, Cleveland.
Sorry, I was in Jamaica. So, yeah. It's a cul-de-sac, and there was someone on there was like, why don't we go and knock on people's doors with this bucket and say, we'll clean their cars and see if they'll pay us. But I was very, very young. I don't know if I would have done a good job. I'd say like maybe five. Because it was a cul-de-sac in the 90s. You could play around and
less pedos,
you'd probably be fine. Well, we just didn't know about them as much. They weren't filling out surveys like they are now. but that was like a door knocking thing. Anyway, 20 meetings a day. I get it. I get the methodology. Sales is, unfortunately, I know people think it's not. And I've seen people like, it's not. It's an intellectual pursuit. And listen to our complicated blah, blah, blah. It inevitably is a top of funnel numbers game. Mm. So the more appointments I can get, the more likely on the other end I'm going to achieve revenue. So I am totally with them on that one. Mm.
And like we say, probably not all doors are created equal. So you, in this instance where nobody knows you, you probably have to knock on like 20 doors to get one. If you're Alex or Mosey and you've been marketing for your whole life, you might need to knock on one door to get one. And it depends.
Exactly.
So tough game. Right, okay. Sales hack.
He's not getting much abuse from us, is he? Like, he's doing all right.
No, but I think that's something to do with his arms and the strength that he might have. I think that if he ever...
I reckon I could submit him.
I think he'd be able to get me in a good headlock.
I reckon he's about your height.
So he's about 6'2". My most...
I reckon you and him.
...used clothes... Right, leave it. A lot of the short stuff, come on.
Well, speaking of... Put this on, this short. Oh, it's loading. Do that thing that people do when they're giving you a SaaS demo. It's not always this. Oh God, my internet. It's just a laptop. You never just go. It's pretty slow.
This doesn't usually happen to me.
Use close that I use in transactional selling is the reason close, and then followed by a best case, worst case. Usually you get to a point in this area where you need to transition. And so you're like, hey, the reason we have these kind of results, the reason we have this kind of success is because, and then you have some sort of reason. Now that reason can be whatever you want it to be. And it's because we're unique. It's because our product works. It's because of this method. The point is that whatever you say the reason is, people's mind will believe because they believe whatever happens because. After I have that, that's usually when you make the first ask. And then if the person doesn't immediately say yes, they say, hey, well, let's just look best case, worst case, right? Best case scenario, we change your life, everything's amazing. Worst case, you get all the service for us for free and you still lose nothing besides the 6 weeks. The most used close.
Right. There's quite a lot in that one, isn't there?
Go on. I feel like you're ready to let loose. American.
Does that... Right. I mean, he's got a book about offers, hasn't he? All offers aren't created equal. If you've read that book, the big thing is... And it must mean that he's pretty good because his offer is basically free up front and you pay him based on it being a success later on down the line. It's a cracking offer, but probably not one that a lot of people either can do or can afford to do. Mm-hmm. Right? So you probably get away with some stuff by being able to get away
because it's free.
That specific close at the end of being like, well, look, it's free. If it works, you'll pay me. If it doesn't, you won't pay me. Do you want to go ahead? We should all be so lucky as to be able to do that. Now, looking at the actual close that he went for, you want to have as much of your sales process about the other person as possible, right? So hearing Alex Homozy there say, here's the results we get, and the reason that we're able to get these results is because we can do X and me, should be some form of flipping that around. So if we were to work together, Jack, what kind of results would you need to see to think, okay, I think I've invested well here? Yeah, so I get you to kind of build that out. There's a thing called the IKEA curve, which we talk about a lot. But basically, if you've built something yourself, you tend to value it more. This closing whole conversation, though, if you even have to do any hard closing or reinforcing or whatever it may be at the end, again, it's typically something's gone wrong upstream. Mm-hmm. There's something upstream, or even you've gone too far, you kind of pushed too hard. And then because of that, you've hit a scenario where someone kind of needs to be pushed and closed in that way. But it's a tricky spot because what can happen is you can push someone to a close, they can say yes to make the beating stop, and then they can ghost you or disappear. And I know it is retorted, but well, I've got the credit card machine available that is. I'm not a massive fan of that. So I like a lot of the stuff that he said in this video. The closing stuff needs work, yeah. Needs an overhaul.
You just don't want to. I mean, the selling doesn't stop just when you've got the money. Do you know what I mean? You want the commitment, and like you think about, like, if you bring on a customer that wants to be there and is motivated and driven, they're going to be your best customers. You don't want to be replacing customers.
Wait, I get what you said, but I get what you were trying to say, but you actually said it the wrong way around.
What did I say?
You said the selling doesn't stop when you get the money. It's when you get the commitment, but it's probably the other way around that you meant it, isn't it?
The
selling doesn't stop when you get the commitment.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, but even when you get the money, the selling doesn't...
No, but I just don't want... Because people in the comments, they're mean. I don't want them, like, saying anything bad about you.
The last comment we had was, I like your beard. Where's it from? That was the last one.
Well, they weren't talking to you, though, were they?
Yeah, because I actually shaved today. For this. All right. You want another one then?
Kia Shave.
Kia Shave. Is that how you say it? Kia. Like IKEA.
Yeah. Is it true? Do you Kia?
Yes, IKEA. All right.
God, I'm sore today.
I know why you're sore. Dead.
Well,
you've been doing a lot of dead hangs, haven't you? You started CrossFit recently. You've been doing a lot of dead hangs. You got a lot of calluses on your fingers. Anyway.
That's you. I've always got calluses on my fingers.
On a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being we're moving forward, 1 being you hate me and you never want to talk to me again, where are we at right now with this program? So let's say they say 6. And you're like, all right, why not a 1? And then they tell you all the reasons that this is good. And you're like, got it. So then what would it take to get to a 10?
a lot of times they don't have anything. They're like, it's like, all right, well, it sounds like it's not about the program. So what are you afraid of having happen? And so then that gets you to sidestep so you can go straight to the issue. And obviously, if they do give you something that gets you to 10, most times it's like, oh, I just didn't tell you that. We have that. My bad.
So,
that's on me.
So I tell you a story. I had an American use this close on me 2-3 weeks ago.
Oh, right.
Now, the issue is, right, like with everything, I can imagine that close. The 1 to 10 question, you know, it's probably one of my favorite sales questions.
I love it.
I love people getting in amongst it, and it's like a, give me a bit more. That's like a real scale that people can get their heads around. The issue is, you take that, your discovery is shit, you've not asked any good questions, it's been me, and then it's on a scale of 1 to 10. The answer I gave this person was, I'm a 1. I'm genuinely a 1, and they were like, all right, okay, what would you... And then I just said, like, I don't feel like this was a good call. I haven't got anything out of it. People were actually... She was actually quite, like, stuck as to where to go then. I just think, going back to what you say on the closing, it's a great question. I don't think it necessarily has to be the closing question. Like, it's very, very simple to be like, what would you want to happen next? Where do we go from here?
You've got a strong poker face. That is the closing question. The closing question is, what do you want to happen next? That's it. And then you as a salesperson, if the outcome isn't a clear yes or no, I've done something wrong.
Yeah.
That listening to any sales advice that is like, here's how you deal with the think it over. The actual advice, and it's not very sexy, it wouldn't fit nicely into a TikTok video, is when you get a think it over, you've done something wrong. You've fucked up. So that's what it should be. Here's what you do when you think it over. You fucking go back over everything and say, why does that keep coming up and how do I get better at it?
Yeah, 1,000,000%.
Downstream.
But it's,
if it's coming up at the end every time, you fucked up.
But it's not sexy. And we'll do one more video. And the title of this...
Man, I am sexy, bro.
This video is called How to Close the Sale. So all of a sudden, we've watched 3 videos back to back on closing. And I think about our world and it's like the stuff that really, really hits is the... It's the cold call openers or the close. It's like, these are the sexiest bits. Asking good discovery questions. Alex or Mosey, he'd be able to bench you anyway.
But he gets tired.
Why is there no sound of that? There is.
Easiest way to ask a close question in a sale, which is where everyone always chokes, is simply asking, would it be totally crazy for us to move forward today? Or would you be totally opposed to us moving forward today? Or would you be totally opposed to us moving forward at the end of this call? Or would you be totally opposed to moving forward, period? When you ask it like that, it's not saying, hey, do you want to sign up? Or hey, do you want to pay? Or hey, do you want to buy right now? We're just saying, would you be opposed to moving forward? And then the person can feel safe and say, well, I'm not opposed to moving forward. And you're like, awesome. Boom, you get it. And you can move forward with the paperwork. And that's one of the easiest ways to ask for a sale.
The psychology I love. As you know, we're big fans of going, would it be ridiculous to ask a few more questions? Would it be ridiculous to whatever? Would you be opposed? But I think for the closing, it goes back to that thing of, come on, give me the ownership. Let me decide.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, because he's not here to talk to us, is he, about this, but the would it be ridiculous to move forward? And they go, well, it wouldn't be ridiculous. And then you go, okay, great, and start trying to like get them all signed up and stuff. Maybe if you are doing that, would it be ridiculous to move forward? No. Okay, well, what would make you feel comfortable? What do we need to do? Okay, what happens next? I almost think that isn't the closing question. That's almost like, you know, let's say we've done the demo or whatever it may be. The person's seen everything. They've like, there's the problem, there's the motivation. Are you comfortable with the way that we'd solve that for you? Yes. Okay. I mean, I wouldn't ever say it, but if you got to that point and then said, okay, so here's a summary of what's happened so far. Yeah, that's correct. Would it be completely ridiculous to move forward? I'm not necessarily 100. I'm not totally against that. I probably wouldn't do it that way. But then when they say, no, it wouldn't be ridiculous. Say, okay, cool. What would you like to happen next? Yeah. I'm not against that.
And then they say,
but I just think there's probably a cleaner way to do it.
Well, what usually happens next? And then it's like, Colt, yeah. You passed me the baton back over, but they feel like they're in
That's
control.
The low pressure way of doing it. The psychology, you're right. They're going for the no, like 100% do that all the time. It's superb.
I was thinking about this, watching that one. Do you think there is any differences in B2C versus B2B when it comes to these kind of questions? Do you think there's like any awareness from like as we know, some buyers are smarter than other buyers. Like, do you feel like actually, if I'm selling to B2C, somebody that doesn't really know this space, those techniques of influence / manipulation might work more so because they're not as frivy? Can I say frivy? Is that the word to it? Privy.
Right. It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because the probably the perceived value is different in B2C. So, you know, if someone comes to you for a piece of software, it's quite easy to talk about like the mission critical problem that it solves. But if I go into a sofa shop and I need a new sofa, the salesperson probably ends up talking to you about how comfy the new sofa is and the feathers that are used in the cushions and whatever else. They probably don't naturally go to what made you want to get a new sofa, then what's going on? Talk to me about it. They probably don't think in that sort of way. So I would just think people might not be thinking of it as an emotional purchase probably as much as it is. I was thinking David actually about a problem with if you listen to this in America, real estate, but we would call it estate agents.
We call it houses.
Yeah. You know, an estate agent, right? So if you go in the UK, if I want a house, I type in like the type of house that I want and it comes up with the house. Yeah. And it's like, it's got a garage, it's got three bedrooms, whatever else. Because people aren't thinking of it in this like problem centric way or even this story selling way, I would think about selling a house. If you could tell a story about that house, how much more impactful would it be? Here's the driveway where my son learned how to ride his bike when he was this years old. It served as a great property between the ages of 5 and 10. When he got a bit older, he swapped to this bedroom. We knocked the kitchen out, so every Sunday when we got in there and we did some baking, the waft of fresh baked goods in the house would go through all the room. You'd be like, fucking hell, we've got kids that I'd love to live there. Whereas it just goes like three bedroom, here's your energy rating.
But the story would come from the discovery. So you walk into the estate agent and say, listen, you want to view this house? There's probably loads we could show you. Tell me, where are you at in your life? What's happening? What are you looking for?
Yeah. Where do you imagine yourself? Yeah. What does it feel like to be? There's something in that when I'm talking in consumer pedestrian selling.
Pedestrian.
Where it could learn a lot. It could learn a lot, I think, from B2B consultative selling, but it's smash and grab tactics, isn't it?
Maybe that's our next venture. We open a B2C shop. Yeah, I like it.
Easy for you to say.
Easy for me to say. Zach Thompson, really good to see you. I've got 2 minutes. Do you have a task for everyone?
Yeah, I've got a really good task actually this week. So we're actually going to send this to Alex Hormozi and his team, get their thoughts. It's really important that you put your comments in the chat. So I'd like people to like this as much as possible and comment as much as they can below, even if they're putting multiple comments. But I'd like you to put in there something that would make Alex scan through the video. So, oh, he'll hate that. Oh, God, I'd hate to see him when he watches all this. Those types of comments. If you're someone who exceeds 5 of those comments, I will give you $1,000 for every 5.
Wow. You are rich. Thank you, Zach Thompson. I've been Zach Thompson, and I'll see you soon, Zach Thompson.
I've been...